Hi, Zoe.
Good morning.
Back.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good to see you.
How are you?
How was Nashville?
Nashville's a really cool city.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't get out and enjoy it that much. Went out to dinner with the company, which was awesome. Martin Barbecue. Best barbecue ever had. And I know we have a lot of good places around here, but when you smoke your ribs in a wood barrel for 2 days, goes down real easy. It was good. Very nice. But didn't go out.
Were you drinking it? Well, I mean,
what's that?
When you say it goes down real easy, were you drinking it like out of a cup?
Generally, those ribs just burn. But yeah,
Murray.
Cup of pork?
Murray. Really? Murray claims to be a food aficionado.
Oh, he's
right?
He's a food man.
Yeah. He was there at the event, and he's like, this is unbelievable. Like the taste, it was good.
Could have used him on post game last night. Could have used his anger on post game last night.
Was Marshall not angry enough?
Not like Jim Murray gets angry about the Patriots. Not
he
like
sure
Jim
he wasn't pissed.
Not like Jim Murray got angry on Twitter about the Patriots yesterday.
Oh
man, yeah, it was tweet after tweet after tweet.
He's such a fan.
Yeah, he's very upset, very angry. That was a bad showing yesterday by your Patriots. That's a bad loss. Bad loss at this time of year.
That's worse than Detroit.
It's very much worse than Detroit. Ooh. So, what do you think the issue is? Biggest issue going. What do you think it is?
Depends. Here's why your question isn't flawed.
It's very broad.
Is there an issue with the team right now, or was there an issue in that game yesterday?
There was an issue in that game. I don't think there's an issue with that team. And I've been on these things where you get steamrolled and that you got screwed from the opening kickoff. Which all of a sudden gets your head on a swivel, like, whoa, what do we got here? We got a game. You know, the average starting field position for Tennessee yesterday crushed them. Because it changes the way you call the game. And Gilmore's not going to do that every game. So I'm not going to sit here and say you got an issue at corner. I'm not going to sit here and say you got an issue at safety. I'm not going to say you got an issue with linebackers. Because you see Hightower make a play or two, and then you see them. So I just think you played a lot of football to this point. You're tired from just doing pre and post. I'm tired from traveling. We've played 9 primetime games in the first 13. You say, well, it's not 13 games. Well, I'm sorry. There is a preseason. And whether or not these guys play in the preseason, you're still at camp, you still got on a plane, you still travel. I mean, these are all issues that build up.
That feels like an excuse.
I'm not making an excuse.
They played too much football.
They got their ass kicked
yesterday. Much football.
Did you hear me on Brian? They got embarrassed yesterday all across the board.
But I would disagree with you on this part. I think there is something wrong with this team.
Do you?
And yeah, because
from a road standpoint,
I'm not saying, you know, like it's a drastic flaw that, you know, they'll be able to do nothing the rest of the way. They don't play well on the road.
Yeah,
they don't. And even in their wins, they don't play well. They didn't play well in Buffalo. They didn't play well in Chicago. They clearly didn't play well in Detroit. Yesterday was a complete train wreck.
Yeah.
They don't play well on the road. And Bill Belichick, over the years, I can't tell you how many times we've heard him say, preaching mental toughness,
yep.
Right? You've got to be mentally tough because it's a grind and all that. Putting it in the bank and being mentally tough and being able to get to the end.
Yeah.
Brady's talked about it. Belichick's talked about it. Julian Edelman has talked about it. Everyone that has been around for a while on this team that has won has talked about that. This looks like a team that doesn't have that.
Here's the thing that's really that I could say that, okay, I've seen this consistently now through 10 games. This is where you have a problem. And you got a problem on special teams. You take the two kickers out of it. I'm not worried about the punter. I'm not worried about the kicker. They're fine.
Special teams?
Special teams. Gunners. Coverage. Kick coverage. Kick return. Why? What other team?
Isn't that sort of down the list?
When you construct your team and you say, okay, this is what we're going to allot the money to, and we're gonna pay extra for core guys. The core guys aren't getting down there making plays. You know, Matt Slater of all people. I mean, he doesn't get to the goal line on that one punt, and he's actually watching the guy fair catching the ball. You've got to know that one guy needs to get to the goal line. Just in case the ball goes, there's another guy that goes short. So if the guy's fair catching the ball, everybody just doesn't stop in front of the fair catcher. One guy's got to go past him to protect the goal line. Nobody did that. Like, these are simple mental errors that they normally just pound and pound on special teams. That's where, you know, normally they have this advantage because we don't want to give it credit, but the special teams are always so consistently decent and good that eventually that works out to three or four points for you in a game. Now it's starting to stand out that they're giving up yards. They're not making tackles. They're missing tackles, returns. You give a team like that, you know, you're coming in. Everybody's thinking, okay, Patriots are coming to town. Patriots are coming to town. Boy, we rip off a 58-yard return to start the game. Now all of a sudden, maybe we could play with this team. So now all of a sudden, it makes your offensive coordinator a little more aggressive as opposed to, got Marcus Mariota, I'm backed up on my own 18. We don't want to have any crucial errors here. Maybe we run the ball twice. You know what? Nah. Let's run a little reverse fake. Let's throw a couple fade routes. Next thing you know, you're up 7-0. Then boom, you get another one. Then start steamrolling on you. Special teams are down the list to your point, but
yes, they are.
When you give a lot of guys contracts, you know, to say, hey, you're going to be a core special teamer and not really help us in any other area. You know, you're Brandon Bolden's of the world.
Yeah.
You're probably better off having a guy like Brandon Bolden here than some of the guys that they have.
I don't think Brandon Bolden is solving the Patriots' issues of not playing well on the road or losing.
These are the little things that add up, man.
Losing yesterday to a team that you had no business losing
to.
It's
a mental toughness thing.
Right. They don't have it. They don't have it this year. As a group, they don't. And we're avoiding the elephant in the room here, and that would be Tom Brady, the quarterback.
He's bad yesterday.
He had a bad game.
Bad game. He was belling early. I thought it was, you know, slipping on the turf. Then you go back and see. I said, no, he just belled on that. He's throwing it away. Throwaway. Throwaway after throwaway. Is it because you're going to one guy that you only trust? And I heard this, too. That people said there's people open everywhere. There was a couple people open here and there. There were not people open everywhere.
Brady admitted it himself this morning.
What's that?
He did. Said that he missed Hogan.
On that fourth down.
Fourth down. That's one of a number of examples you can look at from last night's game.
Yeah, because they sit there and they watch. They rewatch the game on a plane. Yeah.
Why is he not seeing guys?
Oh, it could be.
Hey, you know better than us. That's why I ask you.
Well, I think part of the problem is, you know, it's fourth down. It's a money play. I don't have Gronk. I'm going Edelman. It's a stare down. It's the Ben Coates effect. You know, fourth down, I don't care who's on the field. John Jefferson, you name it. You know, Curtis Martin, we're going to Ben Coates.
So we're talking about we're talking about a trust issue here. We're
talking about a trust issue, yes. And I like Chris Hogan as a third guy, but what has Chris Hogan done over the last 3 weeks to earn Tom Brady's trust? Is he coming out of the breaks? Did you see him come out of that break early in the first half where Brady gets in his ear the whole way back to the huddle? I haven't seen that in a while. Where your head starts snapping, you're screaming at the guy in the huddle.
They were screaming at him yesterday.
And goes all the way over to the sideline and screams at him the whole way back to the huddle. Like, let's go. Get out of the break. I'm expecting you to come out of that break. That's a trust thing.
But that's a problem.
That's a gear.
That's a huge problem.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so Edelman hasn't played well. Hogan hasn't played well, you say. He hasn't done enough to earn the trust. But when the guy's open, the guy's open.
When you're open, you're open.
And Brady, entire career,
I'm not dismissing that,
has been so money because it's all about the open guy.
Yeah.
His favorite receiver is the open receiver.
So when you're desperate.
That there's no favorites. Yeah. There's no trust. Okay. It's you're open, I get you the ball.
Give me a
and that's
break
the difference.
Here. Okay, you're getting your ass kicked in Pittsburgh last year. What are you going to do? You need plays. What are you doing? You're going to your tight end.
But he's open.
Going to the tight end.
But
going,
he was open.
He's kind of open, but he's putting it around. That guy catches everything.
Yeah.
Catches off the shoestrings. Remember that catch he had in Pittsburgh down off the
ground?
He was
ridiculous.
He still bailed him out. Yeah. He didn't have that now. And Edelman ain't, right?
I thought Edelman was okay yesterday. I thought he had a good game.
He was great off the play
action. He's like the one guy I look at and say, oh, that guy showed up yesterday.
Great off the play action because, you know, you're fake playing and you're getting him up vertically and then you break him across. That's where he's money, man, right now.
They totally wasted him on that third and four, you know, that they tried to throw to Gordon because they fake a screen to him there and he just has to stand there. You got four guys that go out on that play. You lose two of them right away. You lose Edelman because it's a fake screen.
That chucked down the right sideline on third and short ain't the first one this year.
You lose Hollister because he's blocking.
There's your problem.
So now you're down to Hogan and Gordon. That's it. Those are the only two guys you have going out on that play.
It's good Hollister was active.
Hogan was covered like a blanket, and then you had Gordon down the field who wasn't open. Like, right away, I hated that play. Yeah. Man, did I hate that play. And that was, what was that, 7 minutes to go or so in the third quarter? Like, that was it. That was it. You knew they were dead at that point.
They
weren't competitive yesterday from the opening kick, as you mentioned.
No.
They weren't even competitive in this game.
They had no answer. They didn't respond. They had no
zero
answer.
Response.
Even when they came back and made it 17-10, you still felt, wow, they had to empty the kitchen sink to get to to get to seven down.
And here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say before we talk about this team all day long and all the issues that they've got going on and whether or not they're mentally tough and whether or not they can win on the road. We view everything here through the lens of, can they win the Super Bowl? Will they win the Super Bowl?
See, that's the problem.
Okay? Yeah. They're a 7-3 team. They're a good team.
There's a lot of football left.
They're a good NFL team.
But you're 10 games in. Now it's going to get to the point where you're scoreboard watching.
Right. They're 10 games in, and they're 7-3. And there are, you know, two dozen teams in this league that would kill to be 7-3 and be at their bye week 7-3.
They'd love to have their problems, right.
Right? I mean, yeah. These are classy, classy issues. The Patriots don't stink. Brady's not done. We're not doing that today. But this team, I feel, is different from the team a year ago or the team from 2 years ago. They are a different team. They are maybe not as mentally tough and ready for it the way those other teams were. And that's how we look at this. And that's why when they lose a game like this to an opponent they have no real business losing to, you feel like, you know what? Yeah, things are a little different here. How can I expect this team to go to the Super Bowl and win it? It's all through that lens. So just try and keep that in mind today.
The problem is this is the most lopsided loss in November or December since
18 years.
Jeff Howe had that tweet.
It's been
yesterday.
Nearly 2 decades since this happened.
These are late season problems that you haven't seen in a while.
Yes, and that's what makes you feel differently about the team. They're not a bad team. They're not going to flunk out and not make the playoffs. They're not about to lose 5 in a row. Nothing like that is going to happen here.
Bye couldn't have come at a better time.
But you see cracks in the foundation that you don't typically see. And it reminds you of other seasons. It reminds you maybe of 2011 or 2009. And you go back to those teams. Good teams. A lot of fun watching them. Won a lot of games. But when they got to the point where it really mattered, yeah, they didn't exactly pull through. And this team is starting to remind you of that because they don't play well on the road. And that is a lack of mental toughness.
Those are two of the worst road losses. Detroit, now you let that one go because it's still a September one. I don't really let it go because I think that's a beginning indicator like, uh-oh. What are you on the road? You know, and that's the first time out of the gate there after the Jacksonville loss. That Jacksonville loss, that was a tough spot. 120 degrees. That was their Super Bowl, as you could tell. They put a lot into that game because they haven't done anything since. But you sit here and you look at it. And this is why I brought up the special teams, because even when you've lost games before in other years, whether your offense wasn't there, defense, or the offense was carrying the defense, pretty much the offense carried defense for 8 years. At least special teams is always solid. You know, they wouldn't have bleep-ups on special teams. Like, that's an indicator that, wow, now it's three different phases where it's systematic across the board. Mistakes, mistakes, mistakes by each unit. That's alarming.
617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand on this Monday. Why don't you join us? Give us a call. Give us your thoughts on yesterday's game as we continue to pick our way through it and why it was.
Can we talk about the tight end next, too? The big one, 87?
Yeah, he didn't play yesterday.
Right.
You got something there?
I got something there.
Oh, Zoe wants to say something about the tight end. I'm curious to know what that is. We'll do it next.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What I know is that this week, for the first time, I heard the word retirement again. And
from someone
who would know. And I'm not like, I've made this point a bunch over the last few weeks. Once athletes open that door, it typically doesn't just close again, right? Like, once an athlete opens that door and starts talking about retirement, you don't hear that, like, go away for 5 years and then come back, you know?
Unless you're Ben Roethlisberger.
Normally it comes back year after year after year. Like, well, yeah. Ben went for a few years where it was talked about. I mean, Favre is the best example of this. He would vanished to Mississippi, and like the Packers wouldn't know whether or not he was coming back or not.
Yep.
And so I think that's sort of where Gronk is right now, where he's very much like year to year, like, let's see what happens on a year to year basis.
Breer of the MMQB on pregame yesterday, Patriots preview, talking about apparently someone near and dear to Rob Gronkowski, someone who would know, as Bert put it, is mentioning the R word again.
He did it last offseason.
Retirement.
And we went through this with Bert when Bert was in with us last week. We talked about it. But my point with Gronkowski isn't about that. I haven't heard anything on that as far as retirement.
Oh, well. Just thought we'd bring it up.
I had 9 years in this league, 9+ years.
Right.
And I made a living out of being a backup. We all know that. Haha, Mr. Backup, right? I used to get Toradol shots in my ass to help with a thing called back pain.
Couldn't you just say Toradol shots?
Yeah, well, they give it to you in your ass.
Why do you have to tell us that?
Well, so you get in line. This is what you do. And you take the Toradol shot, pull them down, boom, put it in. And it's like, It's a tuning fork.
Everything's fine?
For about 4 hours.
Where do they give it to you?
Right in your butt cheek. Right in your butt cheek.
So hot.
Shut up. So this is Mr. Back thing. Do you know why my back would get stiff and all that from standing on the sidelines?
Why would you get stiff?
So here's what I'm doing. I'm
going over to pull your pants down for your turtle shot.
Nobody's told me this, but I'm just like, this is just common sense. I roll out back with him. His back's not an issue. You don't put that guy. And hey, it's a nice plane we travel on. Mm. Don't get me wrong. Nice plane. But the leg room for those guys still isn't perfect. It's not like they have pods where you can lay out. Guy with a bad back, you stretch him out, right? Put him on like a couch. Get him treatment.
Why put him on a plane?
Right.
You go fly to a place he's not going to play if he's got a back issue.
If you got a bad back, they ain't putting you on the plane, right?
Twice in a day, really. I mean, it's in and out. It's a quick trip. In and out. Early game.
And then, again, as you said, repeat what you said. Standing all day?
Stand on a sideline. I don't care. You can make fun of you want, but it drains you. Your legs, your calves. You stand there, and the stress of the game, it sucks right down through your legs all the way down, and man, you just get a stiff back just standing around like that. So why put that guy who has had the multiple surgeries on the back, who supposedly had spasms, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, all of a sudden popped up on a report on a Saturday morning, couldn't make the trip out to Chicago. So why push him through the grind of traveling and sitting in meetings at a hotel? And it's not like he was getting treatment. See, I thought, okay, if it's the back and Alex is on the trip and he's treating Brady, maybe Alex would stay with Rob in the locker room during the game, watch the game on a TV, and get treatment, right? I mean, that would make sense if it was the back. So the fact he's in sweats, you know, and his shoes out there, and he's kind of jumping up and down, moving around, trying to stay limber and stay warm out there because it was chilly, but he only had a sweatshirt on and didn't have a big overcoat. It was a chilly day. It's kind of odd for a back guy to do that.
So
that's all.
The back,
I don't think
is
it's back.
Maybe a cover. For how bad the ankle
it's
is.
A cover because he's on the report with the ankle.
Right. But the back is not an issue.
The back. But here's another thing, too. If you get treated and you go in to get treated on the back, you put it on the report. So it's not, I mean, everybody, you go in with the heat packs, they massage it.
Right.
They do the stim, the
but
ice, the
back,
stim.
As it was reported at the time, was a temporary thing. Was not some sort of long-lasting thing with the back. And that tells you that right now he's not missing time with two injuries. He's really missing time with one, and it's whatever the ankle thing is.
Doesn't look like a back injury to me.
But the other thing would be, why are you letting him stand for 4 hours out or 3 hours out there with an ankle thing?
That's like, you know, stupid people do that. They're not stupid. They're very good at what they do and treating people.
No, I disagree. I think it's something to do with not the standing ankle, it's the exploding off the ankle. Something to do with that. That would make sense. You can stand, but maybe you can't explode off of it.
Right. Yeah, you're not stressing the ankle by just standing.
Because he's run around fine. He ran around fine against the Bills 2 weeks ago. He's running around. He's just not separating, right?
You see Edelman get up and he's sticking the foot.
He doesn't have that extra gear.
So are they shelving him? Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels that way. It feels like he could have maybe played yesterday, but they made the right call.
And as the game's winding down, I make the comment to Bob. I mean, this is where you're sitting there, you're looking, okay, I just wonder how much would the tight end affect everybody else? And I know he doesn't have the burst. I know he's not separating right now. But if you stick him in a huddle, Vrabel's going to, oh, God, the tight end's there. Where's he at? Offset left, offset right. Is he flexed out? Okay, we need to get Byard on him. We take Byard, our best hitting safety, put him on him. We look at him with a backer on the outside, too. So now all of a sudden, you're bracketing the tight end, which opens things up for guys like Hogan, Edelman on the other side, James White, blah, 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 go down the list. So I sat there, I look at Bob. I said, it feels like this is the point where we were late in the year in Miami a couple years ago, where here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down to Miami and run Steven Jackson. We're going to gamble on health. We're going to make sure that when we have our full bullets and we got a loaded gun late in the year, we'll go on the road and we'll play anybody on the road. Felt like that a little bit, standing there watching the tight end. That's all.
617-779-0985. What do you think this name is calling from Vegas there? Zoe, you see that? How would you say that? N-O-J.
Nodge.
No.
Another nodger.
Or no-J.
R-J?
I don't know.
I think it's R-J.
I don't know. Who is this in Vegas?
It's Naj. Naj,
what's up?
Not much. Rough game yesterday. I just wanted to talk to you guys about how much Mike Sarge Riley sucks in the radio.
Oh, God.
It's one.
All right, good. We got it out of the
way. Doesn't take much to get by the intern. Just spell your name backwards. Get right by him.
Oh, it's John backwards. Yes. Good job, kid.
Scott is in Maine. What's up, Scott?
Good morning, guys. Zoe, I had a question for you. Dean Pease obviously has had, you know, some success against Brady in the past. Did you see anything that was confusing Brady, or did he just look like to me and tired?
No, it's a great question. There are points in that game on third down, they're standing everybody up. Nobody had their hand down. Stuff like Romeo Crennel used to do to Bledsoe. You never confuse the quarterback. What you're doing is you're confusing the offensive line. And I think Vrabel, too, and their team, and in fact the Pease coached here, I think they had some of the line calls during the game, that they were scrambling on the sideline trying to, oh, man, we got to change calls here. Because there's certain calls that the center makes. He'll, like, Brady will point out Mike. Then David Andrews will tap the right guard because we're going to tag, or we're sliding right, slide left. And there's code words for it. You know, Ringo, Louie, Liz, whatever, ripping Liz. And if you hear that, you know exactly where a guard is reaching or if somebody's pulling. So if you already knew the calls and you're standing there and you're bringing it, they just rolled the dice. And just here, there was hug blitzers that were coming. They were getting there late and putting the pressure on. And early in the game, Brady was just slipping a foot, ducking out of it, and just throwing the ball away.
Let's go to Eric in Stoneham. What do you got, Eric?
Hi, guys.
Hi. What's up?
I wanted your thoughts on Gronk's playing time in relation to his contract. Couldn't you see a situation where his camp saw that he wasn't going to hit those incentives and now he's just sitting out to preserve his body to get the next contract next year?
No, because it looks like that makes it look like he's old and broken down.
He's not a free agent.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. I don't see how...
It's not related to the money. The incentives are gone.
We're not even talking about incentives at this point. For them, it's about winning. And if he cares, it should be him about winning.
Bert Breer is telling us he's retiring.
Money. Right.
That's what Bert Breer is saying, that they're talking retirement in the Gronk camp again. So, and no, it's not about his next contract. I don't think there's going to be a next contract in the NFL. 617-779-0985. Let's talk more about the Titans getting after Tom Brady yesterday. We'll do that coming up next with more of your calls. Here's Hardy with the headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots limp into the bye week with a 34-10 loss to the Titans in Nashville yesterday. Tom Brady talked about heading into the bye week, but for some reason I have a spinning blue circle right now. We can't hear him talk about it. Well, Brady was 21 of 41 yesterday for 254 yards. He didn't throw any picks. Oh, I think it's ready now.
How come that doesn't happen to the other headline guy?
Oh, shut up. He didn't throw any touchdown passes either, Tom.
You know, I'm sure the coaches will do a lot of, self-scout. I think we as players have to do the same thing. Okay. And it's tough to lose this game, but hopefully we learn from it.
We'll return to action a week from Sunday with another road game, this time against the Jets. Tonight, the 49ers host the Giants in the Monday night game. Combined record of 3-14 between those two teams. Celtics dropped a road game last night, too. They got beat by the Trailblazers in Portland.
Who's playing tonight?
194. Yeah. What?
Who's playing tonight?
49ers and Giants. Yeah. Okay. 3-14 between
that game's
those two
still
teams.
On. Seriously.
Football guy here. I ain't watching it tonight.
Smoke football could be a real issue there, they said.
Well,
it's
you know,
200 miles from the fire.
They handed out masks to the fans in LA yesterday. The players, though, you know, they had to go without, but the people in the stands, the fans in the stands. They got the masks.
Got a couple. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, too.
Celtics lost the Trailblazers last night, 194. Bruins got the win last night, however, 4-1 over the Vegas Golden Knights.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ball on the 43 of Tennessee. Three receivers wide to the right.
Blitz.
Gordon to the left. Blitz is coming. Brady moves up. He's hit. And that's how the first half will end. He is thrilled. Dropped down the play by old friend and now nemesis, Logan Ryan.
Encapsulates your whole first half. Awful, awful football by this team on the road.
You know, if you want to give credit to the Titans for one thing, coaching-wise, they sure were aggressive. They got after Brady.
And you knew
they didn't sit back. They didn't drop eight guys in coverage and rush three and just, you know, oh, we're going to try and you know, jam up the middle of the field. They didn't go that route. They said, no, this guy's having issues with pressure. Let's get right after him. Let's go at him.
They still managed to jam the middle of the field. They sent, you know, as much pressure as they could.
Middle pressure.
Right up the gut. Okay, we're not going to come around on the sides and allow you to step into the pocket and get your extra time. We're going to come right at you head on. But they still managed to keep guys back enough or bring the linebackers up enough to clog up that
middle. Yeah, they were very good covering the underneath stuff.
Yeah.
They really were. They did a good job.
Yeah.
But their plan of attack was the right one, was absolutely the right one. You don't want to give him time. You don't want to have to watch him sit there and just wait for the hole to open up in your deep. No, get after him. Go. He's struggling with pressure this year. He's really struggling against the blitz. Now, is it all on him? No, but this is the way to do it. This is the way to beat them. It's the way to do it. And they had no answer. The Patriots had no answer and no response for it.
It's the first look at that pressure, meaning, okay, Brady's going to see the pressure and somebody's coming. If James White or somebody picks it off or a lineman pulls out and you stuns him, that's when Brady resets and that's where he knows he has you. Because he could sit there, wait, and then it's about that clearing route in the middle where I'm going to bang a sucker on Edelman. He's money on that. They were money. He was money on a Josh Gordon, though, first third down of the game, right down the gut. Because why? They walled it off, that first little oomph. But then all of a sudden you got this hug blitz, meaning it's a one-step delay by the backer, and then boom, then he's shooting. They couldn't handle it for whatever reason. Maybe Trent Brown was sick.
How many times did you shout delayed blitz yesterday? Felt like a lot.
See it coming. I'm like, here it comes. I'm watching it. Here it comes. Delayed blitz. Like,
there it is again. Blitz. There it is again.
It's a damn delayed blitz. It's coming again. You know it's coming. And you knew it was coming at the end of the half there. They brought Logan Ryan. One of those delayed blitzes right up the middle. And he didn't, like, drag him down. He croaked him. Like, Jesus, I'm going to take the hit off your quarterback. And it's like they got in a huddle. Well, no, okay, we don't have the timeouts because we were erroneous with some of our mistakes and screwed up calling timeouts earlier. Can't burn a timeout, so now we can't go to the middle of the field. Now we got to chuck one down around the goal line.
So,
and that's how you get your quarterback
killed. This is what I struggle with in this league with Patriots opponents.
Get your quarterback killed.
Are we supposed to give credit to Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease for just not being stupid? Because every week when the Patriots win, we look at the other team and say, how stupid are you?
Yeah, there's not a lot of stupidity there.
You look at that and say, oh, look, a team that actually knows what they're doing. A team with a sound approach, with a good idea on how to do this.
But they fix their stupidity quickly. Like, first series of the game.
Finally,
you got a linebacker.
A not stupid team.
You got a linebacker running with Josh Gordon down the middle of the field. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's really all it takes in this league. Don't be a dum-dum.
That's top five dum-dum.
Like a good head coach.
So what
you're
they do?
A good coordinator.
They want small nickel after that. They sent nickel in. We're going to play nickel, and we're going to bring guys. We're going to bring hug blitzers off the side. That's what we did. That's all they did rest of the time.
Does it not scare you as a Patriots fan every time you look at the line of scrimmage and the defense and everyone's standing up? No, there's no down lineman. Nobody's got their hand on the ground.
That's,
you're like, uh-oh.
That's the confusion.
They know what they're doing here.
That's the confusion of up front. That's what Romeo did to Bledsoe like 20 years ago. And Vrabel worked with Romeo. That's how all of a sudden you get your guard's head on a swivel. Like, I like to play against the guy that's got his hand down because I know he's coming right at me and he's not going to run 3 yards around that guy.
The Texans used
some of
that. Instead
of your all-pro guard, you had Ted Karras out there yesterday.
If you go back to a couple of years ago, the Texans used that against the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think in the playoffs.
Yeah,
merciless up the middle.
Yeah.
Every time. He owned that game.
And that's a different player. That's a different animal. That guy can play. See, you had the pieces in Houston to do that. If you had a quarterback, you were in trouble that divisional game. Now, Osweiler actually threw a decent ball in that post. Remember they dropped that post? And you're thinking that could have been a totally different game because Houston was kicking your ass up front.
You think Josh Gordon did Tom Brady any favors yesterday? Because I don't.
It's frustrating because, like, you see that on third down and then disappears, like loses his footing for like three series. Then he comes in and makes a play. Then he drops a slant pass. It's like in, out, snip, snap, make a decision. You in or out?
Sometimes he'll fight through coverage. Sometimes he won't.
What's it tell you that Brady at one point? 12 targets to him, one to Hogan. 12 targets to Josh Gordon, who got here, what, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah. I know we'll talk about it at 11, but a beautiful third down pass. 60 yards down the field, it felt like. Third and four.
But yeah, I almost left the booth on that one.
That was it. That's when you knew the game was over. To me, that was when you knew they had no show.
Like, and that's,
they're done. They're cooked.
That's not the first time they've done it. Didn't he chuck one up to Hogan?
I'm surprised they didn't bring Slater out for that play.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Slater on the go.
Bring Slater in for a one-man route.
Scott Chandler.
Like, let's go three tight ends.
Throw fade to Scott Chandler.
Let's go three tight ends.
How come every time a Patriots season feels like this, that happens? On third and short, they go deep down the right sideline.
Yeah, he's not wrong. Jim Louth, he's
you know
not
what
wrong.
It is? I've been in that spot too. It's almost like anger from the quarterback. Like, okay, this is what we're doing. You know, I'm doing Chuck.
Is that
this.
The give up sign by Brady? Deep down the right sideline.
Yeah,
that might be short.
That might be. There is nothing here. Forget it. You know?
But
Chuck didn't walk off the field.
Okay, so it was
I'm done.
It was in Chicago. He did that to Gordon, but you gotta underthrow that ball and keep it high to where he could go up and get it. It was like a no chance catch. I think the ball hit the white. So maybe that's on the receiver too, for not giving him enough space to fade him to the outside. But that's one where you just throw it up at the receiver because it's Gordon.
Let's go to Connor. Connor, what do you got today?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
The offensive line looked terrible yesterday. It wasn't just the blitz. I mean, Marcus Cannon was getting bull rushing in the backfield all day long. I mean, what do you think they're going to do this week, though? I mean, Marcus Cannon looked like the Mike Sarge Riley of the Patriots offensive line.
Oh, boy. There we go again. We can do this all day long. I just won't take calls.
Yeah, stop. We'll just talk
about
the game.
I don't care. We could talk all day on a game after a game like that yesterday. I don't have to do that.
Well, the bar has been set so high now by calling into what they got on Francesa, I heard. And that what was one that Touch and Rich played at the end of their show?
Francesa.
Was it Francesa?
Yeah.
I heard a Hannity or something too.
They want Hannity now.
Okay. And,
He does radio too, right?
I don't know. I guess.
Like, that to me is fun because it's not here. Go right. Do it elsewhere, and then we'll play from the other shows.
Yes.
Okay?
You do it somewhere else and send it to us, we'll play it.
Call Lord of Wall.
You can wear those like a badge of honor is what you can do. You know, record them.
Yeah.
Put them up on YouTube or Twitter or whatever.
Call the...
Do that.
Call the that wake-up crew.
You know, this is like Baba Booey, but now it's it's Mike Sarge Riley. Just stop doing it here. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Can we take a quick diversion from the Patriots and discuss your Boston Celtics? Because there are problems.
What the hell happened?
You know, we talked about it last week. It's gotten worse. The Celtics are in a worse spot now than they were just a few days ago.
Well, you got some audio from Kyrie Irving. Now, this kid is a thinker. He knows what he's talking
about.
You're
going to hear from him.
Oh.
You'll hear what he had to say. Oh. It's alarming. We'll get to that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Another furious comeback attempt falls short in the fourth quarter. And a road trip that had a lot of miles, a lot of drama, comes to an end with only one win. And that one barely. The Celtics show signs of life in every game on the trip. But back-to-back comebacks fall short. And there is an element of back to the drawing board for Boston now as they make the long flight home.
The Boston Celtics are on the verge of becoming a 500 team. In case you didn't know, they've dropped 4 of 5 after their comeback, which looks even more important that they had that comeback that we weren't giving them a lot of credit for on Friday for coming back to beat the Suns.
It's like loser below all of a sudden.
If that didn't happen, the Celtics would have lost 5 straight. So let's be thankful they haven't. They lost 2 more over the weekend on the road trip. So they dropped 4 or 5 on the road trip. The one win they got was Phoenix in overtime.
Mm.
That is a horrible 5-game swing right there for the Celtics on the road. The good news, they're back home on Wednesday, and they've got 3 straight at home. That helps for their next 5 home games. Okay, good. You know, you'll get some stability there, hopefully. After the game last night in Portland, Kyrie Irving, who is the guy who I think you can count on for the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
You know, the guy
we said before we left at the end of our show last week said, what you can see is this is becoming this is obviously Kyrie's team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, no doubt about that.
Yep.
He was 9 of 24 last night. But, hey, he's the guy that you know can close something out. He's a closer. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Playmaker. So he talks after the game last night, and he is definitely one of the veterans along with Horford, and these guys have been around the block a little bit. And he doesn't believe the Celtics have enough veteran leadership. Let's hear Kyrie Irving.
Looking at this locker room, just you know, me being in my eighth year and being a quote-unquote veteran, as well as Al and Baines. And, you know, right now I think that it would be nice if we had someone that was a 15-year vet, 14-year vet, that could kind of help us race along the regular season, understand that it's a long marathon rather than just a full-on sprint of just, you know, when you want to play, when you want to do what you want to do. So
you hear that and you're like, what is, wait, is he ripping Baines? And no, he's not ripping his own teammates, not the veterans at least. He's not ripping Baines and Horford or himself.
He selected those years for a reason, though.
He's saying that we are the guys that are the vets, Baines, Horford, Kyrie. And what he's telling you is we're not getting through to the young guys.
The slappies, accordingly.
We're not getting through.
I've been in this league too long to know where their heads are at right now. We just talked about it last week with Jaylen Brown. The offseason stuff. The interview that he did last week. Like, these young guys don't get it. I need more veteran help to tell me, to help these guys understand how we get it.
Doesn't it sound like he wants to say these guys are slacking and they don't give a damn? Doesn't that sort of,
as much as he
doesn't
want,
that vibe come from what he's saying last night?
Yeah.
And these guys don't get it.
He won't mention a guy like LeBron, right? Because of how it ended there and he wanted to start his own team and all this and that, but he knows he won with him.
Brad Stevens last night, when we're desperate and urgent, we're pretty good. We've got to do a better job, and I've got to do a better job of making sure that we start games that way. So the head coach cites a huge lack of urgency. The guy who is the best player on the team is saying, yeah, we've got veterans here, and they're not getting through to the young guys. And we're going to have to go out and get a guy who's a 13 or 14-year vet to come in and be what, like the father figure? Like come in and kick their ass a little bit? And be the guy who just doesn't take any crap from anyone because he's been around too long. The guy who is clearly not a peer to any of the younger guys on the team, right? Because Horford, Kyrie, Baines, they're still younger guys. It's not like they're old guys, right? They don't have like a team old guy. Kyrie wants an old guy to come in and just start kicking some ass and whip the younger guys into shape. That's what he's looking for right
now. Perk? Somebody like Perk?
Bingo. I'm not saying that would work, but yeah, in terms of there being a big age gap in a guy who's been around for a long time, a guy who doesn't even have to be active and suited up. He could be wearing a suit on game nights.
Call Paul Pierce.
I don't think that's going to work.
But Carmelo Anthony.
He's going to be available soon.
That's one
already.
Headline we saw. Amid Carmelo rumors, Kyrie calls out for a 15-year vet. That's one headline.
Oh,
that's out there already.
No.
You know what? That'd be fun.
No. That's
our job better.
That is not the vet you're looking for. No.
Oh, that'd be fun post-football.
No.
He'll really teach him the way.
Just keep shooting threes.
But
they shoot threes
now. Do you know what I feel when I see all these comments? I see these comments from Brad Stevens last night. I hear Kyrie. It sort of validates what we were talking about the other day about this team. This is not a basketball issue. There is something beyond X's and O's and what they're choosing to do on the court that is fundamentally at their core. Something's weird with this team. That mentally they are not engaged, or they don't care enough, or they think they can just sort of skate by because they were good a year ago. There is mentally something wrong there. And Kyrie Irving confirmed it last night that we need to get an old guy in here because these young kids just don't get it. That's a problem.
Who do you mean? He said he's what, an 8-year guy, meaning Kyrie? He mentions Baines and Horford. How many years has Hayward played?
Oh, not that many. Like
eight?
Six? How long has he been around? So
2010.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I heard Jones talking Friday night after the Friday night loss. Hey, teams keep getting better after Gordon Hayward leaves them. The Jazz got better. Butler went back to the NCAA championship game after he left.
Didn't Jaylen Brown have his best game and Kyrie have his best games when Hayward was out?
Well, Celtics were fine last year without him, right?
Oh, God, stop. Don't be starting that stuff.
You know what I wonder?
I'm not starting. I'm telling you, Jones was talking about it Friday night.
Yeah.
Are we headed for a shakeup? Is there a shakeup in store if this doesn't get sorted out?
Well, how long can you go like that?
I don't know.
Didn't the Heat start 8-8 that year?
Yeah.
Or was it 4-4? Was it 4-4 through eight games, or was it 8-8 through six? Whatever. Something like that. Yeah.
Going through the same crap. Yep.
Does this team have as much talent as that team had?
No. But they had those pieces, those sharpshooters, those the guys that would hit threes, would come off the bench. They
but not
the,
only that, Jim.
The veterans that you're
Jim,
talking about.
Okay, even let's say it was 16 games, right? The Celtics are right now through 13. That means they got like three games to sort their crap out. Does it look like they're three games away from sorting all this out?
No, they're not ready to go on like a 21-3 run or something.
No, they're not ready for that right now.
How does last year's team go on that type of run with losing one of your supposed stars? And you got a bunch of young guys, and they just step in, and it...
Last year's team didn't look at the finish line. It feels like this year's team's looking for the playoffs already, and they're just coasting through the regular season.
Someone tell them it's November 12th. That's a long ways off.
You got a long way to go, bro.
You got a long way to go.
Every team so far under Brad Stevens is just a grind. Regular season grind. To the point where we brought up
March
topics.
March Madness.
No, we brought it up. Are they playing too hard in the regular season, and it's going to affect them in the playoffs? That's been discussions on this station.
Brad Stevens says they don't have urgency. They don't come out of the gate with urgency. They don't play in an urgent way. And Kyrie Irving says they need somebody else to come into this locker room to sort of get everybody right.
Got a tweet here like Vince Carter.
Yeah, that could
work. Little Vince Sanity.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, old Vince is a different guy, yeah.
Yeah, old man Vince Carter is different.
It's a good tweet.
But I get what Kyrie Irving is talking about. He wants someone who's played. Someone who can speak to that, to being a player, knows what it's like to be a player, knows what it's like to deal with the schedule, with the grind, with the 82, and is not going to take any crap from some kid.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Sort of like an assistant coach player is what you need.
Like a Shane Battier type guy.
Mr. Battier!
What's O said? 617-779-0985. Why the Patriots were stupid right after these headlines in 90 seconds.